Oh, that's the wrong one. I'll try to
That's Macho Man.
Yeah, yeah.
You're thinking of. Mind you, this is uploaded on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Bit premature, Case.
Ah, whatever. I'm just getting in the mood.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Anyway, how are you, Glenn?
I am fantastic. 2019, just around the corner.
Sure is. And welcome to another episode of Glenn and Casey's Royal Ramble.
Yes.
The last one for the year, obviously.
Amazing. Episode 56.
Yeah.
From memory. You know, it'll end up a bit being wrong. I'll be like, it wasn't that.
Just can't wait till we get up to episode 69.
Why?
I don't know. It's my favourite number.
Is it?
Nah.
Anyway. Enough of the witty repartee. Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Let's talk about your selection.
Yeah, so my selection, Glenn, if you recall, last time we discussed SummerSlam 1989.
I do. Well, it was only a week or so ago on Christmas.
Christmas. Yes. And I thought a good selection would be to watch what was happening on the other side of the fence at the same time.
Yes.
So we are going to watch the Great American Bash from 1989.
Aha. And that occurred, I have it here somewhere.
Yeah, no, I got it right here. So it occurred on July the 23rd, 1989, so just before SummerSlam.
Uh-huh.
This was, of course, promoted by the World Championship Wrestling, but it's the National Wrestling Alliance.
So NWA/WCW?
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Interesting.
And it occurred in the Baltimore Arena in Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
14,500 people. And I should have, of course, mentioned that this is the Great American Bash, the glory days.
The glory days?
The glory days.
Well, I have to agree with it.
Yeah.
But how did they know?
As far as WCW is concerned.
How did they know then?
I just didn't have a positive plan for the future, I guess.
Well, one thing I did quickly just shuffle together is the Great American Bash, the name itself. This is the third one. Actually, no, because in the end, I'm going to take it all back. I'm going to start again. Mm-hmm. The Great American Bash originated in the NWA in 85.
Right.
85 to 88. So this is our conjoined one of sorts at 89.
Right.
And it continued with the WCW brand on and off, intermittently, one could argue, until 2000.
Yes.
WWE picked it up.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was a
In 2004, and followed through, again, not every year, just, you know, let's pull a rabbit out of the hat and go for something different, until 2012.
Right.
Where it has now been dead and buried for a long, long time.
That's a good name for a pay-per-view. It's better than...
Dead and buried.
No. Great American Bash. It's better than...
It sounds like it's something, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds better than Backlash. Or
it sounds festive,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, it sounds like an event.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So who have we got here today commentating? We've got Jim Ross.
Yes, that's
He's
right.
He's with Bob Cortle again, getting Halloween Havoc vibes from our 89
Yeah,
spectacular.
Well, I forgot that we did Halloween Havoc 89, because that, of course, is the following pay-per-view after this one.
It is, I noticed that too.
So some of the stuff that happens here sets up what we saw in that Halloween Havoc. And yeah, it threw me back to that period of time. This is a much better pay-per-view than that Halloween Havoc card, I would say.
I concur.
It's a pretty fun card, to be honest. Should we just get straight into it? I mean, it kicks things off with a two-ring battle royal. Now, we just saw one of these recently, didn't we?
Starcade Battle Bowl.
That's right. So
selection.
Yes.
Apologies.
So again, we get the two ring. They got their monies out of that second ring, didn't they?
That second ring, and that was my concern, because the second I put it on, I see the two rings and go, here we freaking go again. And it's a two ring King of the Hill Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Now, first to come out is Mike Rotundo. Mm-hmm. Who, of course, is IRS, and he's with Kevin Sullivan for some reason.
Yeah.
They're part of the Varsity Club, from memory. They have crowns. I'm like, oh, okay, they're kings, are they? Then everyone else comes out with a crown. So why do they all have
King
crowns?
King of the Hill.
Yeah, but shouldn't the winner, or in this case, winners, have a crown?
That everyone has a crown.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Sorry, silence just answered that. Now, this one in particular, I was thinking, and I was going a little negative on the WCW feel at this moment in time.
Oh, of course.
And I was just thinking, whoever's booked this has ADHD, because it starts in one frickin' ring again.
Yep.
You got to throw the guy in the other frickin' ring again. Second chance.
Yep.
There is no second chances in wrestling, or in anything else for that matter. Life in general. And then you propel them out over the top. Why don't they just have 40 guys, if you're going to have two rings, have two battle royals and just out, out, out.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense.
Or just have one freaking ring. Anyway.
Anyway, well, the people we have in this match, should we mention?
Oh, absolutely. You rattled them off.
Yeah, okay. So you've got Bill Irwin.
It's my last cigarette case. It's New Year's Eve. Got to quit these things, Dan. Got
to
quit them.
My New Year's resolution will be to get healthy enough to start drinking again.
Oh, God. Now I feel old. And you know, I reckon I could sneak a couple more cigarettes in before 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
There was one year's where I had not smoked for about 9 months and took up smoking again as my New Year's resolution.
Yeah, I did that too. Totally.
Continued to smoke for another 10, 15 years.
Not a smart New Year's. I tell you the best part about doing that. Though, is that you can collect everyone else's cigarette packets who have quit for that New Year. So you start out with about 57 cigarettes. Anyway.
The participants in this match, we've got Bill Irwin, we've got Flying Brian Pillman.
Bill Irwin, that's a good start.
Yeah. Bill Irwin, one of my favourites.
No relation to Steve.
Eddie Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Dan Spivey.
Dan Spivey, of course, Waylon Mercy.
Mm-hmm. Sid Vicious.
Vicious.
Of course, Psycho Sid.
Yep.
Kevin Sullivan, of course, the Taskmaster.
Did he ever look young? At least he didn't come out going, Father! Yeah.
Mike Rhodes Under, of course, IRS.
IRS.
Ranger Ross. Who's that? Rick Starr.
The Lone Ranger.
We've got Ron Simmons.
Ron Simmons.
A.K.A. Farouk.
Yes.
And we've got Scott Hall is in here.
Yes, with a mustache.
Yeah, I didn't even notice him, to be honest.
And he had hair like MacGyver. I
started reading this list.
It's bizarre.
Scott Steiner, Steve Williams, Dr. Death, and Terry Gordy.
Bam Bam Terry Gordy.
Mm.
Part of the Freebirds.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Yeah,
the big one.
Yeah.
The big beefy one.
And yeah, look, there's not a lot to say about this, but I like the ending.
Well, I did like the ending, but what I wanted to just run by you, and it did make me smile, and I went, that's right, WCW. Down below, there is a presentation that pops up, and some font, and it says, presented in the most complete form possible due to original promotional technical difficulty. So I'm like, WCW, here we go.
I mean, that's one thing I noticed about this whole event.
What happened?
Comparing it to
It's a SummerSlam. Yeah.
Like the level of production value and just, you know, all the announcers and stuff, none of them seem to really know what's going on at any given time. Poor JR's thrown to a replay constantly and then it takes another 10 minutes for the replay to actually come up.
You can't compare the two.
Yeah, it's just
apples and rocks. I think is probably the fairest thing to say.
Different level, isn't it?
Did Gordon Solly trip on a cord out the back?
That's the technical difficulties, yes. I've noticed that with a few of those old WCW ones, actually. And, yeah, you do get a few random jump cuts where it suddenly cuts to something else when you thought you're about to see the end of... Not the end of a match, but, you know, the aftermath.
Then again, considering that the time duration for this entire event... It's a mammoth show.
Mm.
I figured out about halfway through when I'm like, what? We're not even close to done.
Yeah.
Is the bloody thing nearly goes for 3 hours. Yeah. So I'm glad someone tripped over the cord or whatever happened backstage. But
well, we could have lost a bit more of this match, but
well,
got 10 minutes of it.
I was disappointed straight away because my money was on Ranger Rolls and he got thrown into the second ring.
Yeah, he was first out,
wasn't he? Well, he was first into the second ring because this is the silly double chance thing. Believe it or not, the first out was Ron Simmons.
Mm.
Damn. But look,
I like the ending because Sid Vicious is the last one left in the first.
He is
him,
indeed
him and Brian Pillman, manages to toss Flying Brian into the. Brian goes flying into the second.
Well, you then goes flying out the bloody ring from memory because we end up with Dan Spivey, Mike Rotunda, and Dr. Death.
Hello.
So Dr. Death dressed as Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, Teddy Long pops out too.
Yeah. Teddy, you get a little bit of hair.
Oh, not much.
No, not much.
Yeah. Sans the big key this time. Yeah. He must have got his key at Halloween Havoc.
But yeah, Spivey ends up.
He does.
Rotunda and.
So you have,
the two biggest guys
of a tag team.
Well, yeah. Well,
it's a tag team. It's the, what are they called?
But this is how they formed. So, because Teddy Long comes out to say, all right, so now these two the two winners, so they will fight it out. But they won't. They're going to split the $50,000 prize money and become, yeah, the Skyscrapers. And, it was cool to see the formation of a tag team.
I guess, and also, too, there's a bit of realism there. Because, let's face it, life is not interesting all the time.
Yeah.
And there is no bash 'em, smash 'em. They just go, all right.
Yeah.
We'll be back. We'll be back soon.
Yeah, exactly. Very soon. Pretty much everyone in this match has a match later on, don't they?
That was almost the disappointing part. And you'd think that they'd learn over time. But anyway, it is the glory days. But wouldn't you think that you'd have all of the matches, maybe then throw this in?
No. I'm glad this wasn't.
Because we've seen everybody already. I'm like, these guys just come out. These guys just come out. Anyway, we should move to the first match.
Yeah, which of course, speaking of guys that just came out, is Brian Pillman.
So he comes out again.
And Bill Irwin.
And Bill Irwin.
Whoever Bill Irwin is.
Oh, you know, he was actually...
Steve's dad.
He was the goon in WWF. Goon, right. You know, when everyone was a plumber and a hog man and a body donor and off we go. Yep. So, sans hockey stick here.
Yep.
Now, look, I love Pillman.
Yeah.
I really do. But I didn't need to see 10 minutes of Brian Pillman and Bill Irwin.
No, and pretty much it's Bill Irwin with the upper hand for most of it too, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's just taking it to Brian. I did like the ending though, because Bill throws, again, Brian goes flying into the second ring. And then he does a splash.
From the other ring.
From the other ring. Yeah, that was
from
cool.
The top rope of the other ring onto
that.
Wild Bill Irwin.
I like
it. He's in worse shape than both of us.
Yeah.
With his shirt off.
Like, yeah, I know. The whole time, like, Brian's pretty...
He's pretty jacked.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
As if he's getting beaten by this fat idiot.
I don't think Jim Ross said that. But, Jim Ross does say some weird things, though, during the night, and hopefully I'll remember to throw them in. But, the match is what it is. The one thing I did laugh is there's cameramen, obviously, but they're not all dressed in black.
Yeah.
There's a cameraman in jorts, like just a t-shirt. It looks like me now, like standing there with a video camera, and I'm like, what the fuck's this? It's not funny, it's on videos. Who's this guy? So, yeah, production value again. Bit of a sigh, but... I am impressed. By the end of the night, I think I'm going to watch a bit more WCW.
Yeah.
I do have to admit.
Well, these were the glory days.
we're going to say... Every time you say that, you got to take a drink. Oh, no. You're in the water. Anyway.
But anyway, now we get the first match of the aforementioned new tag team, the Skyscrapers.
Well, that was quick. They get booked on the spot.
I guess, eh? Yeah, they must have. Who were the dynamic dudes going to fight if they hadn't become a team?
Nobody.
So, of course, the dynamic dudes, Johnny Ace and Shane Douglas, come down in the ring. They're like throwing... Do you see they grab the little kid out of the
They do this crowd, every time.
And they're like throwing the frisbee, and the kid's just freaked out by the frisbee.
This little poor, chubby-looking little kid... And he's standing there, like, come on, let's take a picture. No, it's Halloween Havoc all over again. Just leave him alone. But at least the skateboards aren't with us this time.
Yeah.
It's the frisbees.
Yeah.
And I think, is it Bob Caudle that goes, I've never figured out how to throw one of them. Yeah. You're like,
what's he doing? Like, just throwing it like palm.
Like a pie.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's on commentary.
How does he throw a freaking frisbee?
Nothing gets past Bob.
But this match actually goes for a bit longer than I thought. Assumed it would be a squash match, but no, the dynamic dudes. We get 9 minutes of them.
Actually, I do want to throw in one thing when the skyscrapers are coming down, and I'm thinking skyscrapers, twin towers. Come on, guys, jeez! But when they come down the ring, did you see Spivey swatted a fan? He takes a good whip of one. No, I think a bloke just gave him a little tug or a tap or a poke, and you don't see that often.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can high-five the dynamic dudes, but don't be, like...
That's it. they should come out and choke-slam the kid or done the powerbomb. But one thing I did notice through the duration of the match is everyone's cheering Sid. Everyone really wants Sid, and everyone's booing Spivey. So this is obviously, before they create the proper tag team dynamic of sorts and everyone gets on or gets off Sid's side. But... The weird thing is the crowd pops so much when Sid gets in the ring. You're like, and then he does like the lamest double axe, like fop. And I'm like, well, he must have had a feather duster in his hands. Like, it was just really bad. But overall, I did notice, what are my other notes? I don't have many, admittedly, because I didn't realize this would go for so long. But who have we got? Teddy Long, player. He doesn't have a lot of teeth.
No.
Where's his teeth? And Jim Ross is making fun that he's got no hair. I'm like, what's... Since when's Jim Ross got a beef with people? What's going on here? But again, they split the cash. The skyscrapers win.
Yeah.
And yeah, Johnny Ace and Shane Douglas can piss off as far as we're all concerned. And then we thought it again at the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, now is the point where this pay-per-view suddenly became a whole heap of fun. I was like, what? Do I hear the next match now? Because so like, I didn't look at any of the card before watching this
either. Well, no, I was literally playing it by ear.
Yes.
I had no idea what was coming up next either. Maybe it makes it more fun that way.
Yeah, it does.
So
it
next time we select something that we're not too confident about, or at least have no idea what's coming up, this is the way to do it.
Yeah.
Because I thoroughly enjoyed this. I watched it this morning. And I had fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, as soon as they announce, all right, now it's Jim Cornette versus Paulie Dangerously in a tuxedo match. I'm like, what?
And the funniest thing, and I do remember Jim Cornette saying this many years later, is he said that Genghis Khan couldn't turn him face, but Paulie could. Because he was so dislikable. And of course, Paul Heyman, we all know that. It's weird seeing him with hair.
Yeah. And his giant phone. It looks like he's just got a home phone, like a cordless home phone.
Well, don't you remember the old Brit?
Yeah.
It's the Reservoir Dogs phone. Yeah. The nice guy Eddie phone. But yeah, this match is funny. And a tuxedo match is what it is. So the combatants of this particular extravaganza is only going to win if they strip their opponent.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the tagline from Alien vs. Predator, whoever wins, we lose.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because
what's the commentator, not JR, what's the other guy's name?
Bob Caudle. Yeah.
He keeps going like, take it off, come on, let's see him, let's get him.
Come there, Bob.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Jim Ross is like, I am, no, not you. But yeah, it was just, the funniest bit about this overall is Cornette hulks up.
Yeah.
So that made me laugh. But what, we got baby powder.
Yeah, it's funny, actually, when I was a kid, I had this awesome giant book. Was a photographer, a wrestling photographer, put out a book with wrestling photos.
Yeah.
My parents got it for me for like my 6th birthday or something like that. My favourite book. I look through all those photos a billion times, but there's a shot in there of Paul E. Dangerously when he's throwing the powder at the start of the match. And I was like, when I saw that happen, I'm like, oh, and I'm looking down, that guy in the jorts, that's the guy. It's the guy whose book I've read a million times.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the guy in the jorts, but yeah, it was one of the photographers.
Well, all I remember, and I don't know where I've seen it, but I do remember Paul Heyman / E. run off in his jogs. I've seen that somewhere before. And Jim Cornette wins and Cornette's a baby face.
Yeah, that was weird. Because really Cornette's weird. Come back from his knee injury or whatever.
Yeah, well, that was
off the scaffolding.
Yeah, which we haven't touched on. Never actually seen the full match.
Yeah.
I've seen Corny fall.
We'll have to do one of these early Starcades.
Well, I'm going to watch more of it now.
Yeah.
Because I was looking up and down that 89 year going, you know what? I've got spare time.
Well, there's a lot of good wrestlers at that time. A lot of good talent.
Absolutely. One could argue undiscovered talent
with
some of these guys.
But soon to be discovered, some of them.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
But, so Corny wins. This match goes...
Oh, yeah, because he wins because Paulie tries another powder toss.
And, there's a kick.
Kicks it in his face.
That's it. And, look, it's overly... It's two managers. Manager matches are never supposed to be classics. No. But, it's just get them...
But if there's two managers you want to see go at it, it's them two, isn't it?
I'd like to see it more now.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, and it was just over 6 minutes, and it woke me up, admittedly. Now, the next match we've got the Steiner Brothers.
That's right, with Missy Hyatt.
With Missy Hyatt. And they're up against the Varsity Club members, being Kevin Sullivan and
Mike Rotunda.
Mike Rotunda again. Actually, Mike Rotunda looks kind of fit here.
Yeah.
He's not as heavy looking.
No, he's slimmed down. He's wearing the proper wrestling tights.
That's it. The Bo Dallas tights, one could argue.
Yeah.
The one thing I did miss at the start, and that's why I was like, what's going on here, is I didn't realise until the end it was a Texas Tornado match.
That's right, yes. So meaning all four members in the ring at the same time.
Yeah, because I'm sitting there going, these refs are even worse than the SummerSlam refs. I'm going, this guy's just letting them hit each other with stretchers and tables and chairs. And you see the table get flipped up and the legs are sticking up, and I'm like...
Yeah, these tables are not our tables.
No, you're like, move that table.
Yeah.
Can you imagine now?
Someone's going to lose an eye.
Oh, exactly. We'll just go through it. Yeah. You don't want to go through it upside down. But the one note I do have is I think Scott and Missy went to the same hairdresser. But,
and Scott's only just in the trucks as well. He's not wearing the...
I don't know what's happening. Yeah, I don't understand that. Because unity was always the key. Mm. To a great tag team, you want, obviously, but you're on the same page. You've got the same music, the same outfits.
Yeah, even Danny Spivey and Sid Vicious dressed exactly the same before they were a tag team.
Exactly. What a coincidence. What a coincidence indeed. So yeah, an Extreme Rules match that, again, I wasn't ready for.
Well, yeah, luckily it only goes for 4 minutes, so we don't get an actual injury. Because if this match went on much longer, someone would have lost a limb. but it is over pretty quickly. I think Scott Steiner like pulls down the rope and Rotunda goes flying over.
Yes.
And that allows... And then do they both pin... Sullivan?
Now, that's the ending is actually what I'm just trying to glance at right now, and it didn't make a lot of sense from what I've written down, but this is my end, this is what I called it. You're going to love it, because it's you need a dictionary. It's a top rope, high cross body, double slam reversal, rope-a-dope.
That sounds right.
Is what I've called
with
it.
With a double pin.
I sound like Gorilla Monsoon. But what essentially happens, it was very clumsy, but you got a Steiner off the top rope to bump the other Steiner that was being held by...
That's right.
I don't know. It just looked ugly. And then they both pinned him, because one hooked the leg and the other one pinned him. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I guess you can, because it's a Texas Tornado match, which I didn't really understand the rules. I think this is also the other one, and it's either now or later. JR's actually having a shot at WWF. Did you catch this?
No, I did notice someone in the crowd holding a sign saying WWF sucks, but they blurred out the WWF.
Yeah.
But you can still read it.
Yeah, but I know. And why would they blur it out? Just put it.
If it said WWE, they probably would have left it.
Well, I don't know the rules around that anymore. I can't remember. I thought it was if they put it up, you have to blur it. But if it's someone else has put it up, you don't have to. Or something to that extent. There's some really strange. I don't know. Who cares? But I did hear, and I don't know if it was this match, the match prior, or maybe the match following up. Mm. But Jim Ross is talking about. Well, you know, these guys are athletes. Oh, it was during the. And I was going to say Twin Towers. It was during the Skyscrapers tag team match where he was saying things along the lines of these guys are power lifters. You know, they're not body guys, and you know, these guys are not you know, bodybuilders. And they said no animals or gimmicks here. And then the Stones came out with a dog. And I'm not talking about Missy. I'm not trying to make a bad joke. They come out with a dog because halfway through this crazy tornado match, I'm like, well, where's the dog? He might as well attack someone or do something. So yeah, I just thought, come on, Chad, what's going on here? He's being fed his lines, obviously, but I thought it was a little bit weird. Bit inappropriate, considering he's going to eat humble pie the next match or two. But regardless, the Steiners win in a very schlocky but quick match.
Yeah.
That match was quicker than the Jim Cornette-Paul Heyman match.
It was like 4 minutes.
Jeez.
All right, well, now we get to the championship matches of the evening.
And this is where I was kind of surprised, because we see the Sting promo, and he's with Hot Stuff, Eddie Gilbert.
Oh, that's right. Why is Eddie Gilbert Hot Stuff?
I don't know. But you know what? Eddie Gilbert was renowned for having one of those great wrestling minds. Yeah,
sure, but why is he Hot Stuff?
I don't know why he's Hot Stuff.
But, it's not hot.
It's not cold stuff, is it?
It's like a truck driver.
I don't know, but again, just... Another one of those names that keeps popping up. It's another Pat Patterson, another person that like seemed to understand how to put things together. And no, here's your finish. This is how this will work. Blah blah blah. And but look, it's quite an art in itself. Apparently, people get paid top dollar. I'm going to stop talking in a minute. But we've got the Sting.
Sting, who's the television champion?
Yeah. Woo! He didn't do his woo. No. He didn't do his call. He's with Eddie Gilbert, and he's up against my favourite, becoming a favourite, the Great Muta.
Yeah, how good is the Great Muta?
With Gary Hart. Hello.
Yeah.
He's got a weird way of speaking. You've said this to me before, and I was noticing it. It's like an accent he's trying to hide.
Well, I was reading up, he did spend a lot of time with the Australian wrestling promotions in the States.
Hey, really?
So perhaps he picked up some bastardized Australian accent.
Potentially. Yeah. Well, we did by accident, didn't we? Well, Gary Hart, no relation to the Hart Foundation.
How many Harts are there? There's the Hart family. There's
Jimmy Gary Hart.
There's Jimmy Hart.
Mary Hart. there's a few. But no, because I'm thinking he's Gary Hart, because there's so many freaking Hart kids.
Yeah.
But no, he's no relation to Brett, Owen, Keith. But we have an undefeated Muta entering the ring.
So good, isn't he?
I don't know. There's just something about him. You do watch him going, imagine this guy now. Yeah. Like now.
Yeah, I know. He'd be in awesome,
like NXT or just an up and comer. Like just as, oh, I don't know. Just everything he does is good. And you're like, oh, okay. I think I want to watch more Muta.
Yeah.
But. This match is great.
Yeah, it is. It's really good.
And I wish it went for longer. And I don't say that often.
Great Muta tries some red mist, I believe.
I actually saw the mist job. Because you see when he rolls out of the ring, Gary Hart puts like something in his mouth. Like a little balloon.
So I was going to say, there's no way he's holding that in that long.
No,
like,
man.
Hitting the stomach. He's like,
that's a good promo. What do you think? No, but yeah, I saw the sneaky because the villain referees used to always blade their own guy. Yeah. And, you know, because you're not looking for it. It's all, you know, sleight of hand, so to speak. But so I did spot it. I went, hang on, he's put something. Has he given him a weapon? And he had, hadn't he?
Yeah. But to no avail, though, because Sting.
He hit the ref.
Yeah.
You don't see that often. Well, I haven't seen a ref get blinded by mist, but
yeah.
And of course we've seen the great Muta at Halloween Havoc trying to put out the cage.
That's right, that was the Thunderdome. Oh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, the Thunderdome. Wow, we're building up to the Thunderdome. Yeah. We're doing things in reverse.
Yeah, so, I get it.
This is the Godfather 2 to our Halloween Havoc edition.
So. Or you could say it's our the Road Warrior to our Thunderdome.
No, you can say that. It's probably more appropriate. But regardless, enjoyed the match. Enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yes.
The Pearl of the Orient. The Great Muta.
Yeah. But Sting won, didn't he?
No, that's no. Right. This is a controversial finish.
Well, it's almost a little bit of a Bret Hart finish.
Yeah.
So to speak.
But see, no one actually got pinned here because Sting... does he sort of gets like it was a belly to back suplex?
Yeah, on Muta. Yeah, but Muta gets his shoulder up, which means that he's pinned Sting, but Sting didn't have his shoulder down.
Exactly.
So it's just a double draw. Well, is that what they call it?
No, they call a double Sting pin. The winner.
Oh, they actually got a double pin. I've got right here.
I've got that here too. But what actually happened on the show, they announced Sting as the winner.
I nearly mooted you with wine.
The red mist.
Oh my God, can you imagine? It went in my mouth. I can't drink it. Sorry.
What they actually did on the show, they announced Sting as the winner, but Muta just grabs the title and runs off.
I've always wanted to see that, and it happened. I've always said, what if you lose and just take the title anyway and go, come get it. We gotta wrestle again. I don't care if you won.
Didn't R-Truth and when Wade Barrett?
I don't like this already. R-Truth.
When Wade Barrett had the Intercontinental title,
what time is it? No,
WrestleMania 32. Mm. Everyone, Dean Ambrose, R-Truth. Everyone had a go at stealing the title. Remember that?
I have no idea.
No, I went on for ages. It was stupid, but this was funny. I like the mood of just running off with it. So yeah, but what happened after this? Was Muta the champ? Like.
It will, the official, what the book says, it was a double pin, which so is actually incorrect on both counts.
So who's the champ?
I believe Sting is still the champ, but Muta has his belt.
Like, come get it. Come on.
Love it. Love it. Well, we'll settle it at the Thunderdome.
Yeah. Oh, do we have to? Yes, we have to.
That's all right. We don't have to watch it again. We already have.
I know. Available in the archive, folks. Like
Halloween Havoc 89.
Like another 55 episodes past this one.
Good point.
A lot of hours.
A lot of crappy wrestling hours.
A lot of hours. That's a lot of hours of us talking shit.
It is.
Can you imagine if you just went play and just play the... Oh, my. That's days. I mean, hang on, that's days of entertainment. Kids, all for free. We don't want nothing. Unless you want to send us something. So
that's a good idea. Send us stuff.
Send wine.
So, yeah, we get another title match. This is for the US heavyweight title.
It is indeed.
And we've got the champion, Lex Luger.
Looking old.
Yeah.
Even though
he's young.
What happened? It looks like he's adding his...
Well, he's recently heel turned here, so...
Yeah, right. Well, he's good as a heel.
Yeah, he's good.
Actually, Luger is good in old school WCW.
Yeah.
He actually tries.
As a heel, yeah. I wouldn't have liked to have seen him prior to this when he was a face, but... Yeah. Steamboat is his opponent.
Yes.
And actually...
You said Steamboat, not Steamboot.
Steamboot.
Ricky Steamboot. It's like, you went Scottish a few episodes ago.
Really?
Because you kept going, I can't say Steamboat. I mean, you said it. Yeah. Oh, okay, Ricky Steamboot.
Oh, what? Well, there you go. Ricky Steamboat.
I was waiting for you to say it. Yep.
But yeah, the catch here is this is supposed to be a no DQ match, but
Luger, being the bitch that he is, refuses to fight Steamboat in a...
I like this.
Yeah.
And you know why I think they booked it this way? Is so Ricky Steamboat doesn't accidentally get booed. Because he is too much of a baby face. Accompanied by his beautiful family, Little Dragon, the wife... And nothing is that, but like, as I'm pretty sure it's Cornette said, hang on, he's a babyface. What does he need a girl for? And why would he have his wife come out with him? If you're a heel, bring your wife out. Hey, look how good we are. But it just makes no sense. And then he doesn't even come out with his family. He comes out with a Komodo dragon. He's got a big lizard with him. Yoshi. What the fuck? It doesn't even have a muzzle on. Fuck that. What's that doing out there?
Yeah, it's
It's an ODQ match. He's got a big lizard. Piss off.
Well, he is the dragon.
All right. But anyway, supposed to be a DQ match. Lex jumps on the mic. He's got mic skills because he's trying.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
So Steamboat, being the gentleman that everyone talks about, says, that's all right. I don't care. I'll wrestle him anyway. Why not? And these guys then have another. This is back to back with the championship match.
Yeah.
And these guys have a freaking bar bender too.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah, no, it was really good. Except the ending, I didn't really get, because Luger goes and grabs a chair.
Yes.
But Steamboat manages to catapult him, so he hits the chair into the turnbuckle.
Himself, yeah.
And then Steamboat grabs the chair and starts beating the crap out of... It's an ODQ? Why is the babyface, why is he...
Maybe he's had enough. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't quite get it. But...
It would have made more sense from a booking perspective if he actually just got disqualified for accidentally making Lex hit himself. And you just go, well, that's a bit of bullshit. Yeah. He didn't do that.
Yeah.
Or even he picks up the chair and the ref turns around and goes, you hit him on my head. Yeah. Or something like that. I mean, you know, come on, it's WCW. Yeah. We've seen worse.
To have him actually turn and start whacking him, it's like, it just seemed out of character for
Steamboat. And JR, no animals. An idiot. There's a lizard out there now. Because he even said no snakes here.
Just lizards.
Like, no snakes. Got some leaves out there slithering over cords and knocking things over and God knows what else. But and then, I'm glad we had something to say about this match because all I've written down is I've met Ricky. And he was very nice.
Yeah, he looks like he'd be a nice guy.
He's a lovely man. Lovely man.
Unless he hits you with a chair.
Beautiful family. So, next match, we've got... Oh, and this is where I wrote down WTF, because I looked down, looked up at the screen, saw two cages, and it's time for War Games.
War Games. So, yeah, I guess, not that I chose this pay-per-view for this reason, but it's interesting to see, now that we've had a couple of recent NXT War Games matches, which, look, I don't mind. Did you end up watching the most recent NXT?
I haven't watched the most recent, but I did watch the year prior.
The recent one was quite good.
But I don't like the war game concept.
No, I'm into it.
Really?
Yep.
It doesn't make any sense from a booking perspective. And I know it's Dusty's baby.
Mm.
Dusty's over beating up the Honky Tonk Man over at WWF.
Yep.
But the concept is a little flawed.
It's very flawed.
Because the problem is...
one team always gets an advantage.
Well, and it's always the heels.
Yeah.
The heels have never lost the coin toss, mind you, in the history, apparently, of WCW, NWA, or whatever you want to say. But the one thing I found strange, always with this, is that it ends with one pinfall or submission.
Yeah.
So, a guy could not even make it in there, and it could be over.
No, because the war games don't begin until all 10 men are in the ring. So you can't pin or submit anyone until all...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, 100%.
All right.
AJR even says it. He's like, now the war games have officially begun. The war games went for like a minute, but the match went for like 20.
Also, what's the bloody point of going in if no
just
one
to
can...
Just to wear your opponents down so that you've got someone that you can target for a quick pin because you beat the shit out of them.
All right, I like war games. It's a good idea. Because my version was shit.
Yeah. Yeah, because the first guy could pin the other
That's
first guy.
That's what I
guy.
Thought!
And then the other eight people just go,
I guess I'll go home then. stupid war game. Didn't even get to play. But one thing I did like, and they didn't do it with the later war games, they used to come running out one by one, and you go, here we go, it's like a shit rumble and Survivor Series and just crap in general. But they're all standing out there talking smack. You got Michael Hayes screaming at the guy.
One of them, who is it? Maybe one of the Samoans or something, tries to climb up on top of the cage. Yeah. Like, you can't go in there. No, it might be Doug's death. We should mention who's in this match. It's the Road Warriors. Road Warriors have teamed up.
That would have been fascinating to listen to. Me getting a concept wrong and you explaining a part of it, and we don't know who the fuck is in this match. It's a double ring, big cage over the top, and now every wrestling fan listening, which is about probably four, is now going, we know what fucking War Games is. But anyway, continue. Hey, I'm a WWE guy. Come on.
No, we got the Road Warriors.
Yes.
They're teamed up with the Midnight Express. Face Midnight Express. That's a weird one.
Mm. And yeah, it is, actually. They've got Stan Lane and Beautiful Bobby.
Yep. Sweet Stan Lane. And
that kick.
Even sweeter, Dr. Death, Steve Williams.
Oh.
He's back here. And they've got, again, face.
Did you see the promo where Dr. Death's pretending to fly past? He's like Superman. I'm like, this is mental. And actually, even prior to that, when I saw the Freebirds and the Samoan SWAT team, I got excited. Because I was like,
Fatu is just like, got his hands all over the face of
Michael Hayes, like, just looking like, Michael Hayes stand there talking, and you go, I want to go have a shower. Like, he's gross. And even grosser is his partner, Jimmy Garvin.
Yeah.
And you've got, and the best worker of the lot is Bam Bam.
Yeah.
Terry Gordy.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about this match? Because I don't have a lot to talk about.
There's not a lot to talk about. It's just a standard Road Games match.
It's a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
It's typical WCW. Even Jim Ross gets to throw in one of his favourite lines from WWE later on in Raw, where he's like, it's like a demolition derby, but they're using bodies instead of cars. And you're like, oh, I've heard that before, but not at this. It's something good. Well, let me give you my notes. Not many. Mm-hmm. Dr. Death's a very strong man.
Yes.
Because he picks up Terry Bam Bam Gordy and banging him
on the roof.
Yeah. One, two. Yeah. This guy's like 350 pounds.
Pretty low hanging roof though, so they could have built
it. But that's the best, because you can grab it and kick at things. And how crazy was the freaking Road Warriors flying around? Just see Hawk jump from one ring to another. And they even said it looked like he got shot out of a cannon. That's when you just fall at the bottom. No one fired it. When he just went flying across the ring, and I went, that's so dangerous. Like, what if he clunked someone's head or who knows what? But, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, and it ends with, I think, Hawk, isn't it, gets, I can't remember who, but...
Jimmy Garvin.
Jimmy Garvin in a... a hangman's neck breaker.
Well,
so it's like a neck breaker submission.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. I mean, Skinny used to do it, but hold the mouth like an alligator. And I'm like, that looks mean. Yeah. We'll never talk about Skinner again. But this was great.
I bet we will.
You reckon?
We've mentioned him several times.
Really? But anyway, it was fun. It was even more fun for me because I didn't expect it.
Yeah, exactly. Unexpected War Games. And, after a couple of great...
spontaneous War Games.
After a couple of good championship matches and, a tuxedo match, this has just been a fun card overall.
But I'm sitting there going, they have got their money's worth.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a card. There's so much shit happening here. But anyway.
Well, it's about to get even better because we've got the main event.
That's it. Cage is back up.
Yep.
Too bad there's two rings still there. It's a pity they can't just get rid of them away.
imagine, because all the matches, I think, are only in the first ring closest
to the
ring.
You'd be spewing.
Exactly.
I paid front row seats.
If you were ringside on the other ring, it would suck.
Well, wouldn't they just get rid of cut the ropes and just make it some massive, stupid ring?
Or an extendable ring that squishes back together again.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. You imagine how hard that would be, though, when you squish it? It'd be like landing on bricks. Yeah. You'd be like, But anyway, like the thought, though, you should work for IKEA.
Because they could do the thing, like when they lower the cage, you'd be like, they're extending the ring.
Dun, 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 dun. As the cage comes down, it doesn't come down. I think they built it. It's the old days, isn't it? I don't think it was going dun, dun, dun from the roof, but I don't know. I'm like, this is actually good.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is good.
We've got Ric Flair, the World Heavyweight Champ, up against Terry Funk.
Oh, my God. I love Terry Funk.
This is great. Yeah, exactly. And Ric Flair is a face here.
Yeah.
I'm not used to this era of Ric Flair seeing him.
He's the injured champion now, so we've sort of got an angle now. We get it. We think his days are numbered.
Because Funk's given him a couple of nasty... pile drivers or something.
That's it. Well, even Gordon Solie, he's a big fucking help, isn't he? He's going, I know you're going to say you're 100%, but we pretty much know it's not true. Flair's like, thanks for keeping it real. But yeah, Flair was very almost dignified. He's not jumping around, whoa, and going nut shit, is he? He saved it for later.
Yeah.
But
this is a fun match.
Well, I knew I was going to have fun personally because that music starts, that Ennio Morricone music. I went for Lee Van Cleef to come out. Funkster comes out swiping at fans. He's got Gary Hart. They've got a branding iron with him. Right, this is going to be crazy. And I might leave my notes on this, but it was good-looking fireworks.
Mm.
It rains fireworks. Then the middle ceases and Flair comes out with all these women. Yeah. And I'm like,
cool.
How often do you say that?
Yeah.
WCW.
Yeah.
This is 80s. Oh my God. Yeah. Anyway, what do you got to say about the match?
They just beat the crap out of each other, as you'd expect in a Terry Funk match. Mm.
What's the time? Oh, yeah, I can smoke this.
No, it goes for a while. It's like a good 17 minutes or so. By the end of it, I mean, you know, sooner or later, Flair's going to get the blood flowing and gets his face all messed up.
Yeah, it's not a Flair match in the 80s. Unless the tomato sauce is flowing.
Yeah, there's one point where Muda comes back out and hits some green mist on.
Well, that's at the end.
That's the very end. But Flair's just looks like an absolute,
train wreck.
Yeah, he looks like a Frankenstein or something.
Well, he's busted green, open, red. And then he gets the green mist sprayed in his face. So at the end, by the time he interviews, at the very end, he looks like a chimney sweep from Mary Poppins.
He looks ready for Halloween Havoc.
He looked like the Great Muta, is what he looked like. But all I've got jotted down here, and this is where the notes end, stop, that's it, no more, goodbye. I've got chops, eye gouges, we've got branding irons, we've got exposed concrete, blood galore.
Yeah, because that's right.
Crazy Gary Hart out there.
Terry Funk tries to do the pile driver onto the exposed concrete.
That gets
flipped over. Yeah. There's a bit of table action. He wasn't someone get thrown straight into the timekeeper's table.
They're all over the place. Yeah, it's nuts. They don't care.
No.
They don't care. And this match itself only goes for 17 minutes. It kind of reminded me of that crazy match the Legion of Doom and Ahmed Johnson had against the Nation, where you go, what's happening?
What's going on? Yeah.
You know, one thing I did like early in the match is when the Funkster's riddled in pain and he starts doing the curly from the Stooges, whoop, 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 on the, you see him running around on the mat, on his side, and that's our 100th Three Stooges joke. Here come the balloons. Thank you very much. I'll poke you in the eyes later to celebrate. You can slap me. Yeah, it was funny. And at the end, of course, Flair sneaks a win. You're rolling me up, no? Well, I roll you
they
up.
They sort of attempt to put each other in, figure fours, don't they?
Yeah. And inside cradle.
Inside cradle.
Is the technical term from good old JR.
Or a small package.
Yeah, and then they try and get an interview because it's wrap-up time and they love a little chat.
Is this when Muda comes out?
Well, yeah, of course, because the match ends and then Gary Hart gets in and he cops a biffo from Flair and Muta's like, hang on a minute, I'll just jump in here and everyone will cheer because I'm the great Muta. He's not just Muta. And he comes in and does a spray. It's a good spray this time. Here's your Fanta.
Yeah.
Straight in his face. And then Sting comes out and I'm going, this is starting to look really familiar.
Yeah, exactly.
If that cage was a bit dustier and fell back down, this is looking like fucking Halloween Havoc.
Yeah.
And that's when I cursed your name again. I went, that's right. He's slowly sneaking all of 89 of fucking WCW in my face. But I loved it. And they keep wrestling even before and after.
Yeah, it keeps going for ages.
The match, they said, we got two matches. We got the match and then we got the fight that went on for just as long afterwards.
Out up the ramp and everything. And you keep thinking it's going to end and that's the end of the pay-per-view. And it's 5 minutes later, you're like, this is still going. What's going on?
Good pick.
Yeah, I loved it. Good times.
Can't believe it. Good times.
Glory days, you could say.
The glory days. All right. Well, look, you know what?
As the glory days of 2018 come to a close.
Very, very slowly. It's my pick.
Yeah. What are we going to do in the new year?
Well, Case, I'm glad you asked.
Because I have a dice.
And oh my God.
Yes. This is what we're lowering ourselves to. No, one time only. I'm thinking my first pick has to be a rumble. But I couldn't pick which one.
A random rumble.
I was a random of random rumbles. I was struggling, and I'm thinking, what have we done? We've done 90. That's all we've done because we don't want to do 89. Too old. 88. That's too short. So I'm thinking, if I roll a 1, we'll do 91. If I roll a 2, we'll do 92. Nice. If I, you get the gist.
Yeah.
So shall I?
Yep. Oh, 91.
91. Consecutively. Cool. 1991 Royal Rumble. Pretty fun one from memory. The main event is the Ultimate Warrior against Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, excellent.
This was right in the amidst the beginning of the Gulf War.
Yeah.
So
this is just before WrestleMania 7.
Yes. Emotional times ahead. And pretty bonkers Rumble from memory. I'm looking forward to it.
I don't know if I've ever seen it before, to be honest.
I'm just wrapped I didn't roll a 5. Because that horn's in the mail, and we need the gas if it's 95. Yeah. So, well, there you go. And I've never rolled a 1 in my life. And I'm just wrapped it didn't fall off the table, and the dog didn't eat it. Choke on it. Or...
Cool. It's actually appropriate that we'll be doing a Rumble in January.
Yes, I thought so.
And I'll let you know what I choose when we get to it.
Well, until then, folks.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Da, na, 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 na. No.
Sounds like Muppets.